And again, the same verse. I want to point out once again that the Apostle Paul, when it comes to deliverance, and that's quite a general word, deliverance, but he's talking about salvation. It includes a lot of things. It is a general word that describes the overall experience of God's people. It has to do with justification. It has to do with redemption. It has to do with all of these truths of God. Where the Apostle Paul says, "O wretched man that I am," and he talks about deliverance, right? "Shall deliver me from the body of this death." His answer is, "O wretched man that I am, who?"
Yes.
One thing about God giving a person spiritual life, to where they begin to see what they are, what they truly are in God's sight. When they begin to see that they are a sinner, that they are sinful, they begin to stop looking at things, at what's for deliverance. They begin to look for a who,
yes,
a person.
Amen.
Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, who?" Paul was looking for a person to deliver him.
Yes,
that's one of the hallmarks of having life from God. You began to quit. Now, I'm not saying you maybe necessarily totally quit. Because as the Apostle Paul said, "O wretched man that I," what?
Am.
Not was.
Am.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not just "O wretched man that I was." It's "O wretched man that I am."
Amen.
But then the heart's cry, the regenerated cry, the cry of God's people having been given life from God and having been to some degree taught by God. Okay? That I am nothing. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?"
Yes.
The point is this. Here's the hallmark. Here's the separating distinction as between a regenerated, converted person and a person who is not regenerated or converted, either one. The distinguishing mark is the person who is regenerated and converted looks to Jesus Christ as their deliverer. You see it?
Yeah.
You heard what I said. I said they look to Jesus Christ as their deliverer. They don't just look for Jesus Christ to deliver them.
Yeah.
Hmm? There's thousands, if not thousands upon thousands, yea, probably millions of people who look for Jesus Christ to deliver them. They hope Jesus Christ gives them some special ability to keep God's law. They look to Jesus Christ to give them some special desire, some special ability, some special inner ability to do what's right in God's sight, to keep God's law, to obey Him. God's people says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from myself?" Isn't that what he says? That's just another way of saying what Paul says. Who shall deliver me from myself? Who shall deliver me from the law? Well, no, he's done that, but that's not the point.
Exactly.
Right? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What death?
Yeah.
When I would do good, sin's present with me.
Amen.
In me. What is this body of death? In me, that is in my flesh, dwells what? No good thing. No good thing. Well, I've got some good in me. No. In my flesh dwells no good thing.
Exactly.
O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The glory of having life from God, true deliverance, that is having true salvation, that is having true spiritual faith, is that that person is single-sided when it comes to deliverance, even if they don't know it. You see, you don't have to know you're single-sided, you just have to be single-sided.
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
It's not, "Well, I know that I know Jesus Christ," it's, "I know Jesus Christ." That's all it boils down to. Remember what I said last week, that this thing is, it is a personal encounter with the person of Jesus Christ. Saul of Tarsus had a personal encounter with the person of Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, did he not? Jesus Christ literally appeared unto Saul of Tarsus. But let me say that each one of God's people today are called by name, and they have an individual encounter with Jesus Christ through the Word of God. They meet Him. They come to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now the truth is this, a person who does not know Christ has not experienced deliverance. Now I did not say they were not elect of God. I did not say they were not one of God's people. But a person who has not had a personal encounter, let me say, a personal encounter with Jesus Christ does not know Jesus Christ. I'm afraid there's countless, even, let me say that. When I say there are thousands of people out there lost, my mind generally goes to Arminians. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? When I say, even me, when I say there are countless thousands of religious people out there that have made professions of faith that are lost, my mind usually automatically runs to the free will people out there, mm-hmm. The people who hold the free will. But I'm afraid that it must be also said that even amidst grace churches. Yeah. Even amidst grace churches, there are thousands of people who think they have deliverance and they do not know Jesus Christ.
That's it.
They know the right doctrines. They acknowledge the right doctrines, but they have never had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
To them, when someone says Jesus Christ, and it's a passage of Scripture, and you can be turning to it. It's Colossians chapter 3, and I'll read that in a moment. But when you begin to talk about this, when you make the statement that I'm going to read here in a moment, or when you talk about Jesus Christ being paramount, or you talk about Jesus Christ being preeminent, or you talk about Jesus Christ being all, they say, amen.
Oh, yeah.
But they know that only academically.
Yeah.
They know that only doctrinally. They know that only because they've been taught that and heard it over and over and over and over. So when they hear Jesus Christ is paramount, they say, amen. But they've never met Him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now it's sad because you find this out when you talk to people. You find out there are people who think they're delivered and they don't know who Jesus Christ is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they can say, I believe in election. I believe in sovereignty. I believe in free grace. They may know all the phrases and terms, but they don't know Jesus Christ. And the truth is, the person who doesn't know all the phrases and terms may even have some wrong phrases and terms. Yep. But if that person knows the Christ of God, that person's been delivered. When the other person has all the right phrases, has all the right words, but doesn't know Jesus Christ. Somebody says, that's kind of a scary thing. Yes, it is a scary thing.
Oh, yeah.
Colossians chapter 3, as I said. I heard this the other day. Penny and I were listening to Don Fortner on a CD. And he was talking about human depravity. He wasn't. He was talking about our depravity.
Yeah.
Now, he made a statement. He said, people going around talking about total depravity, and I've said this. I mean, it just run home to me. And this is what Don Fortner said. He said, people go around talking about total depravity, and they say that doesn't mean you're as bad as you can be. You know what his answer was to that? Yes, you are.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, I have said that very thing. Total depravity doesn't mean you're as bad as you can be. And Don Fortner had the gall, the wherewithal to say, yes, you are. And the only reason you haven't done everything there is to do is because it isn't advantageous to you.
Exactly.
If it was advantageous to you to be a child molester, you'd be one.
Yeah, that's it.
If you weren't afraid.
Yeah, if you just weren't afraid that it wouldn't benefit you somehow, you'd do it. You'd do it. You'd do it. I'd do it. We'd go rob a bank and we'd murder somebody today if we thought it was truly advantageous. You say, well, I wouldn't. You don't know your depravity then. you really don't know your depravity.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. You don't have to know your depravity to be delivered. Not fully. Not fully. Because I don't know if any of us knows our depravity as we ought to know it.
Exactly.
As we ought to know it. No man knows anything as he ought to know it. The thing is, you know Jesus Christ. Have you met him? Have you met him?
Yeah,
now here's the passage. Colossians 3, and this is what Don was, is the, one of the passages there. Colossians 3, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, barred nor free. But here's the phrase, but Christ, and this is the first part of it, it's all I want to talk about. But Christ is all. Now he said something along the line of this. It doesn't say that Christ, everything points to Christ. It doesn't say Christ is the center of everything. Though everything does eventually point to Christ.
Yes, sir.
Though Christ is the center of everything. Okay?
Yes, sir.
But it doesn't say that, does it? What does it actually say? Christ is all.
Amen.
Right? It's not that everything else eventually must be boiled down to Christ. Christ himself is all. And I guess he talked about an encounter where he had his first encounter with Henry Mahan. And he was bombarding Henry Mahan with all these questions. What do y'all believe about this? What do y'all believe about that? How do y'all practice this? How do y'all practice that? And eventually, somehow, they were in a vehicle or somewhere. They were going somewhere, or maybe the conversation was about to end. But anyway, Henry Mahan turned to this one verse and laid it right before Don Fortner and said, I want you to read that right there. Or he read it to him, and he read that phrase, Christ is all. So he said, if Christ is all, then Christ, if I preach him,
yeah,
I've done all I'm supposed to do.
Exactly.
I'm preaching Christ.
Yes, sir.
If Christ is all. Now you remember what I said? It's still, and it let me know, it's not quite adequate that I talked about all these different pieces of the puzzle. And when you put all the different pieces of the puzzle together, you have the picture of Jesus Christ. See, that still doesn't cut it. Because that lets me know as you begin to take that puzzle apart, Mason, or if that puzzle is apart, then Christ is not all till the puzzle's together, right? The point is, Jesus Christ is every piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
You see? If Jesus Christ is all, Joe, he's not all once it's all together. He's all.
Yeah.
Period.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is all. The Apostle Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What is sad to me is that people are not concerned about Jesus Christ and whether or not they have a relationship with him.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not going to go through it again. I've mentioned some of them. But remember, take note of the constant references by the Apostle Paul to this who. Right here in the context, chapter 7, chapter 8. It's chapter 7, verse 4. Chapter 7, verse 24, 25. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Chapter 8, verse 10. Chapter 8, verses 31 through 34. Chapters 8, verse 35 through 39. He constantly talks about this who, in connection with deliverance.
Amen.
Well, I believe what you all believe. So do the devils.
That's right.
They probably believe it stronger than we believe it. You know that? They probably believe it stronger than they know it. You know, they know it. You know, they know it. Well, I believe what the church believes. Well, the church has been wrong. Look at Laodicea.
Yeah.
Look at Corinth.
Yes, sir.
The church has been wrong. The question is not what do we believe. The question is what do I believe?
Amen.
Oh, let's go even further. It's not what I believe. It's who.
Amen.
It's who. You remember what our Lord said, and I mentioned this, Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 through 23. If your eye be single, then your whole body's going to be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the light that is in you is... Now, notice what he said. He's not speaking hyperbole here. He is not exaggerating. He's making a direct point. There are times when Scripture does allow for it. It's used. Hyperbole is used. Exaggeration is used to prove a point.
Yeah.
But Christ is not trying to prove some point by exaggeration, by blowing the story up. He's not talking about a story. He's talking about a reality. If your eye's single, your whole body's going to be full of light. If your eye's evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. And then he says, if that light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?
Yes, sir.
A couple things I've heard men use to describe that, and they're adequate. They may not be perfect, but they are adequate to describe this. If that light that's in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? If a person believes wholeheartedly in election, but they don't believe in the elector, they're not delivered. And somebody said, well, you can't believe in election and not believe in the elector. Yeah, you can too.
Oh, yeah.
You can believe that God exists. You can believe that God is an elector.
Yeah.
But never have met this elector.
Yeah.
The scripture says those that come to God must believe that he... It doesn't say... Now, when they read it, it said must believe that he is. You know what most people think when they read that? Those that come to God must believe that he exists. Well, if you come to something you don't believe exists, you're an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right? That's not the point. It doesn't say those that come to God must believe that he exists. It says those that come to God must believe that he what? He is. He is what? He is God. Those that come to God must believe God is God.
Amen.
Okay? If that light that's in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Let me just give you four different kinds of darkness. There is natural darkness. I won't get very far this morning. I can see that right now. There is natural darkness. There is the darkness of biology. There is biological darkness.
Oh, yeah.
There is scriptural darkness.
Yes, sir.
That's right, scriptural darkness. And there is works darkness.
Yes.
Now what about this natural darkness? Now turn to Romans chapter 1. We talk about natural darkness. Now all mankind is naturally depraved.
Yes, sir.
When I say that, what I mean by that is every person ever conceived, I don't care whether they're born or not, they don't have to even be born. This includes every baby who has been aborted. You don't have to be born to be this. All you have to be is conceived to be this. You know? Every person ever conceived is so conceived dead in trespasses and in sins. When that person exists as nothing more than the seed of the man and the seed of the woman having come together to begin to form a different thing.
Yeah.
They're already right then, David, dead in trespasses and in sins.
Yeah.
Right, even right then. When they, whatever split minute second God determines those two things having come together to begin to form this individual being, okay? They are dead in trespasses and in sins. They are under the judgment of that first judgment God pronounced against Adam and Eve. They're under that judgment. They've not even said the first wrong word. They've not even thought the first wrong thought. They can't say or speak yet. But they're under that curse.
Yes, sir.
They're under that curse. And if they are born, it says that we come forth doing what? Speaking lies.
Amen.
Even though we can't talk.
Amen.
That's pretty daggone depraved, ain't it?
Yeah.
You can't speak yet, but you can still tell lies.
Exactly.
Now, some people think that's an exaggeration. That's a hyperbole. No, that's not one of them either. It's true.
Yeah.
The wicked are estranged from the womb. That's why that from, not after the womb, from it. Okay, they are estranged from what? God.
Yes,
wicked are estranged from the womb. They go forth speaking lies as soon as they be born.
Amen.
That's our natural that's natural depravity.
Yes, sir.
But you know what? As man grows, as a human being grows, as they begin to mature, and there's no set age. Scripture doesn't tell us this. But it does tell us this, that God's created universe, it doesn't say it's proof. Scripture doesn't offer it as proof so much as we think of proof. We think of proof as irrefutable evidence laid down in a series of order, okay, like we have in our courts. Proof, you know? Not hearsay, you know? None of that. We talk about absolute, empirical, scientifically proven proof. Well, here's what Scripture says. Romans 1, verse 18, I'll begin there. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest. Notice it doesn't just say to them. Does it? Now that's true. As we will see, creation manifests God's eternal power and Godhead to men. But that's not all that Paul says here, does he? Because that which may be known of God is manifest, how? In them. Now somebody said, well, how is that true? You know, it really don't matter. Scripture says it is. It is. You're not going to escape it by finding out what it is.
No. That's it.
And I'm not being funny. It's a fact. I mean, it don't matter. Even if you could say, okay, here's exactly how it's revealed in them, you're not going to escape it. You're not going to get around it. David, we're not going to be able to become so knowledgeable that we can rise above it.
Yeah.
It's a fact. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. And why is this so? To bring the knowledge of God to every man? Is that what it's for? Is it so that every man may know God as God deserves to be known? Is that why? No. Here's why God did it for man. That includes me. This includes me. It includes you. We're all a member of the human race, the fallen human race. So that they are without excuse. I didn't know. Yeah, you did, even though you didn't know you knew.
Exactly. Yeah.
Somebody said that don't make sense. God's not asking us to make sense. God showed it to us. Ain't that what that says?
Yes, sir.
You see, and God means what He says, whether we understand it or not.
Exactly.
What we're to do is believe it, bow to it, not try to figure it out. When you try to go figuring God out, you're going to totally lose out. Because it said God cannot be figured out.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
You know what Romans 10 or 11? Which one is it? 11. Yeah, Romans 11 says. And it goes, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, what was man's problem?
Yeah.
And I will tell you, this is evidence even in us.
Oh, yeah.
By nature. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Yes. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They made the created thing to be the creator.
Yeah.
Right? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things.
Yes, sir.
Wherefore, what did God do? God gave them up.
Yeah.
I deserve that.
Yes, sir.
Because let me tell you, before you can make it, now Paul is talking here about that, specifically about that mass of humanity that began to make idols.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he's specifically talking about.
Yeah.
That mass of mankind that began to make idols and call them God.
Oh, yeah.
You see, if they didn't even have this reference, Ellen, to God, an all-powerful, glorified being, why would man create something to worship? That proves he knows about God, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he makes these he makes idols. He makes images of birds and beasts. He may even worship the birds or beasts themselves. He may worship the moon or the stars. Men have. And that's the direct reference to the Apostle Paul. But let me tell you, apart from God's purpose and providence, we all would have been there.
Exactly.
As I said, the only reason we haven't been there is because it wasn't advantageous for us to be there.
That's it.
If we lived in a society that was like that, we'd be like that society. Right? If everybody else was around us, we wouldn't stand out in the crowd. We'd be like the crowd. We'd be a part of the crowd. We'd be the person that everybody else is looking to be like.
Yeah.
And we'd be just like that.
Yes, sir.
And the only reason we're not completely that is only left. The only answer is God's sovereign purpose.
Exactly.
That's why I'm not living in the deepest, darkest jungle somewhere, wearing a loincloth and worshiping animals and beasts. That's the only reason why.
Exactly.
It's not because it ain't nobody got to them with the gospel yet. They started that way.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? We didn't start in that place. We all started in our mommy and daddy Adam.
Yes, sir.
And when our brothers and sisters were born, our mommy and daddy and Adam taught them these truths of God.
Yeah.
You know that? And our brothers and sisters turned against that truth. And as the rest of our family was born, day after day, each and every one of us went our own way.
That's it.
Right? We each and every one of us went our own way. I'm not that way. Yeah, I am that way. And as old Don Fortner said, the only reason I'm not completely right there today is because it wasn't advantageous for me to be that. If I'd have thought this would have gained me glory or power or money somehow, I mean money to get power and glory, peace. If I thought that would get me there, I'd be just like this. But you know what happened to people like this? Wherefore, God also gave them up.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it says? God gave them up. Mm-hmm. That's a natural darkness. Here's another word to think about. They use the very truth that reveals that God is eternal. And what do? They take that truth and turn it into a what? A lie.
Exactly.
The light that is in you is darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it. Right here it is. How great is that? These people are given over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient.
Yes, sir.
They act in unnatural ways.
Yeah.
Now, I've said this before, and some people... they don't get it. Now, nobody gets it unless God gives it to them.
Yeah.
But just because you don't get it doesn't give you excuse to not have it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Job mentioned it. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody professes to have been a believer in the Christ of God for many years, you ought to be able to teach other people about this Christ of God. Isn't that what Paul said?
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 6, you look at it. He said, there comes a time to these people. You should have been teachers, but you got to have me turn around and teach you again.
Yep.
You know, if somebody's been at it for 30, 40 years, they ought to be able to tell somebody a little bit of something about who this God is. Don't you think?
Yes, sir.
Why is that so? Why are we this way? We this way? Because we really don't care. There's a whole lot of other things in this world to keep our hearts and minds occupied.
Yeah.
Hmm? A whole lot of other things. That's natural depravity. There's also a biological depravity. You remember what the psalmist said? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Right? Now look at it. Psalms. There's no need for me to hurry in this. I was wanting to, get on along. You know, I've been on this for so long, but that's okay, ain't it? And if it ain't, tough. Psalms 1. I didn't look at anybody. I wasn't meaning to look at him in particular. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that the way that may have looked. I just happened to be looking that way. Jay was thinking the same thing, but you're just sitting right. Psalms 139. Verse 13. Remember, there is a natural depravity. If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that dark? These people knew God, but what they do, they didn't glorify Him as God.
Exactly.
They wanted something else. And that light became what to them? Darkness.
Darkness.
And it became a great darkness, right?
Yeah,
now think about it. They're as let me go back. And I didn't say that these people who are, you know, these, I'm talking about rank idolaters, you know, idol worshipers in the most outward, overt sense, Mason.
Yeah.
Their children are born into that, and they don't have the revelation that these people originally had.
That's right.
You know what? You know what I mean? Those folks, these children, as they're born in successive generations, these children are born knowing only what their parents went into, not what their parents had before. Okay?
That's true.
So here you have these people, and Scripture does say a man will be judged by what he knows. Now, granted, knowledge puffs up, but you're still going to be judged by what you know. And you'll be judged, in the more appropriate way the Scripture puts it, you'll be judged by the light God gave you.
Yes.
You know that? And God has given all of humanity that natural light.
Yes, sir.
But they take that natural light and they turn it into a lie.
Yes.
There's not a human being on the face of this earth that has taken the natural light and turned it to the glory of God. Or I should say used it for the glory of God. Not one. You don't find one illustration or example of anybody taking the creation and discovering who God is in the person of Jesus Christ. But then there is this biological darkness. Psalms 139, verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me." Where does it say?
Yeah.
Covered me, not just from, that would certainly probably be true, but thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Now it doesn't tell us a time there. It doesn't say first trimester, second trimester, third trimester, one and a half and three quarters trimester. It says in my mother's womb.
Yeah.
Now I was when I began as me, I began from the beginning. Whenever that is, but I'll tell you, it ain't the first trimester. It ain't after the first one. It ain't after the second one. I was me when me first started to be me. That's when the two parts came together and made one. Well, you about the male part and the female part came together. I became what? One. That was me. "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made."
Amen.
This human body is a testimony to the wisdom and glory of God. You know that?
Yes, sir.
It's a testimony to it. We are not like a blade of grass.
Exactly.
Now, a blade of grass is a wonderful, amazing thing in this universe.
Yep.
Now, here's the amazing thing. I don't know all the answers to it. Here's the amazing thing, though. I can't give you empirical evidence. Okay?
Yeah.
But they say that with all of the stars that are out there, billions upon billions upon possibly even trillions upon trillions and possibly even beyond that, because we really can't count them. Not really. We can only, you know, suppose. With all of these stars, and this is the old Carl Sagan argument, you know, if so many out of so many of them had only one planet, and so many of those planets out of all of those millions and millions had life and or had water and sunlight on it, and if only just a small portion of even those had it in the right proportion, life could literally exist in the thousands of or thousands of planets. Theoretically, that could be true, but we ain't never proved it.
Exactly.
You know that? We have telescopes now that we can peer and see the surface of planets that are beyond our or places that are beyond our comprehension. And Mason, we still can't prove that life, let alone intelligent life,
yeah,
exists anywhere else but where? Here. And even if it does exist somewhere else, it's under the curse.
Yes, sir.
Even if it don't want to be.
Exactly.
Because God, the Scripture says that even the heavens, the stars, and the moon are not clean in God's sight, so they're under the curse.
That's it.
If there's an alien out there with one eyeball, he's under the curse, whether he likes it or not.
Yes, sir.
What I'm trying to point out is this. We are more than a blade of grass. There could be thousands of planets out there with life on it. Do you know that? And if it's just blades of grass, if it's just trees, it ain't nothing. Because the human being is far beyond a blade of grass or a tree. You know that? But you know what men do? They take this body, this glorious, wondrous body, and Scripture says they make their God like unto themselves.
Amen. Yes, sir.
This ought to be proof enough to anybody that there is an eternal creator. Think about it. This body is so made, and God has been so pleased to give the beings who inhabit these bodies the ability to take a person who has a problem with their pancreas, that's Kathy's son Brian, and go in through an orifice in their body, not even have to cut them open, and go inside them, up into the pancreas, and work on the tube going to that pancreas. Now I want you to think about that. Huh? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has so made this body and so given mankind the wisdom that you can have a problem in your heart or in one of your veins, and they can go in through down here in your thigh, and they can run a cord, whatever it is, up inside you and stick a little piece of metal or whatever it is, David, up inside your body, and then slightly, gradually, ever so slightly, blow it up. Huh? Isn't that amazing? And you know what men do? What does man say? There is no God.
Oh, yeah.
Look at what we've attained to.
Oh, yeah.
Look at what we have. That's taking the light that's in us.
Yeah.
And it's turning it into darkness.
Exactly.
And when men do that, how great is that darkness? There's also what I've termed this. This is my term. It's what I term scriptural darkness. Turn to John chapter 5. I know there are some out there, I just don't see it that way. That's your problem. You don't see it that way. And somebody said, well, I don't have to believe like you. If I'm right, you better. That's right. If I'm right, it's not based upon me. It's not because I'm great. But if I believe the truth, and truth is essential, bless God, you better believe the truth. You better believe what I believe.
Exactly.
It's that simple. Well, I don't have to believe like you. No, you don't, unless I believe the truth. Then you best.
Yep.
Now, John chapter 5, verse 39. About time for me to wind this down. Christ said to these people, search the Scriptures. Now, that's good advice. Right? I mean, that's good advice. He told these people to do this even, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's good advice. It's not up to me to say, well, I don't think that person ought to read the Bible. You know what I mean? Now, there's some people who probably would have been better off if they didn't.
Yeah.
Because they read it, they see the truth of it, and then they turn that truth around. Right?
Oh, yeah.
It'd have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment. The book says that. Right?
Yes, sir.
Search the Scriptures. But see, I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
So I would tell someone, the only advice I give, you ought to read the Bible. You ought to search the Bible. But what did Christ say? Search the Scriptures. But look at this. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of what? Me. Not election.
No.
Not predestination. Not even redemption per se. But what? Or who? Me.
Amen.
And here's the problem. And you will not come to, what's that say?
Yeah.
Me. Somebody said, well, I don't know about that election. Can you come to Christ?
That's it.
The Christ in whom God chose. Can you come to Him? Can you come to that Christ?
That's it.
Can you lay that inability to understand that? To perceive that? Can you lay that down? Enough to say, I come to Christ. Can you? Now, if that mean if disbelieving that means more to you than coming to Christ, you might as well stay away.
Yeah.
Because it's coming to Christ. I didn't understand all about the 5 points when I came to Christ. But you know what? God forced me to come to Christ. I had no one else to turn to. I didn't come to a knowledge of the doctrines. I come to Christ. And here's my point, folks. Do you know? Now, maybe you don't remember the day when you came to Christ, but do you know for sure you came to Christ?
That's
the point. Did you come to Christ, or did you come to a knowledge of doctrine?
Yeah.
Well, I know I'm a sinner. That's all well and good. So did Judas.
Yeah.
So much so that he went out and hanged himself.
Yeah.
Right? You know, he went out and hung himself. And evidently, the rope broke. I don't know whether he didn't make a good noose or the rope was rotten. Something happened. He fell after he hung himself. He fell and busted his guts out on the rocks.
Yeah.
Didn't help him a bit. Esau sought repentance carefully with tears.
Yes, sir.
He wanted a change. He wished he could take it back.
Yeah.
But he couldn't.
Yeah.
But he couldn't.
That's it.
I hear that everybody that wants to go to heaven will get to. No, they won't.
That's exactly right.
There are people that's going to expect to get in.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And they ain't going to make it.
Exactly.
And what is it? What is it about the people who expect to get in and won't make it? What is the problem? Their problem is I. I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that.
That's it.
They don't cry out to Christ, Christ, you did this.
Amen.
You are this, you did that. That's my only hope, Lord.
Yeah.
It's the only hope I got. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And now he goes on, and I'll, God willing, begin there a little later. You know, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. You want to know if you're regenerated or not? Do you eat his flesh and drink his blood?
Yes, sir.
That's pretty daggone intimate, ain't it?
Yeah.
That's getting pretty close, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
See, this ain't just Jesus. It's just another part of my life. He's another part of what I believe. You've got to eat his flesh and drink his blood.
That's right.
That's getting pretty close.
Yes, sir.
Ain't it? That's what they call nowadays down and dirty. Mm-hmm. Getting right into your work with you. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I'm afraid there's a lot of people, even amidst grace churches, they don't know Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, they can look back and tell you the time when they come to know a specific doctrine. You know? Well, I knew when I bowed to the 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
That's all well and good.
Yeah.
I guarantee you Satan knew it long before you did.
That's right.
You know? And it didn't do it. It don't do him. You know, it does a person no good to believe facts. Scripture says, whosoever believeth on me, Christ said. Whosoever believeth on the Son, the Scripture says. Whosoever believeth on him, the Scripture says. Right? It's always him.
Yes,
him.
Sir.
Him. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Ashamed.
Amen.
You're going to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You've got nothing else to be but ashamed of yourself.
Yeah.
And if you can be anything else, you don't even begin to know yourself.
Yeah.
You know? Every once in a while, sadly, Joe, we may not forget it, but it ceases to be up here in the forefront of our heart and mind.
Yeah.
And you can find yourself thinking this thought. Maybe not praying that prayer. It makes you feel better when you say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You find yourself thinking this thought, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like other men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You ever thought that thought? Well, I don't pray that. Yeah, by God, we think it though, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. We've seen them out there. I've seen them. Well, I'm glad I'm not like that. Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
It just ain't advantageous for me to show it.
Exactly.
Right? It's just not advantageous for me to show it. Father, I pray that you comfort us, not just in the knowledge of thy Son, Lord, but comfort us in thy Son. Comfort us by him and with him. I thank you in his name. Amen.